Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This morning, I'm very pleased to have as a guest Simon Lincoln Reeder. And Simon grew up in Cape Town and lived in Joburg, where he became an energy entrepreneur and wrote a weekly column for Business Day and later BizNews. Now he manages a fund based in London and is a trustee of an educational charity. And because he lives between the UK and California, I thought he would be the ideal person to have to discuss what we're about to discuss. Simon, welcome to Hi FM.
Thank you, and good morning to your listeners, and good to see you, Sara.
Simon, I forgot to mention that you're writing now for us, for the Daily Friend, nice
yes.
acerbic comments on all things political and related and cultural related to politics, and therefore have a pretty wide breadth and knowledge, understanding, and cynical view of essentially what the world is throwing at us. And I think something that has received very little attention has been the fact that last week was tabled in the House of Representatives in the US a bill that fully reviews the bilateral relationship between the United States and South Africa and identifies South African government officials and ANC leaders eligible for the imposition of sanction and for other purposes. Now, Simon, this appears to me to be a real whammy. I mean, this is not just the review of the bilateral relationship regarding AGOA that occurred last year and went through the House. I think it sort of died with the presidency. I can't remember under Biden. What generally, before we look at some of the specifics, what generally is your view of the potential impact and likely success to finality that a bill like this will actually achieve in the current climate?
I wasn't surprised by this. I was made aware 2 weeks ago that something was coming. I was as unsurprised as I would be were I to hear that yet another pro-Palestine BBC journalist has been arrested for possession of indecent imagery. And Donald Trump first spoke about South Africa, if you recall, back in 2013, and that was shortly after the murder of Reeva Steenkamp. And you could see then he thinks in a very particular way. Mm. And all that's happened in that time is that more people who think like Donald Trump have gone to Washington. Now you have Ronny Jackson, who is a Republican from Texas. Before that, he was George Bush's physician. Then he was Obama's physician, both who spoke very highly of him. And then he was the Trump first term physician. And if you look at what Ronny Jackson is doing in parallel to this bill, he's leading the charge to defund National Public Radio, NPR, in America, who were one of the main features of dismissing the Hunter Biden laptop scandal mm-hmm. in 2020 as Russian disinformation. And you can see that this guy and the people around him are absent of the standard Western liberal / European values that the ANC have become accustomed to dealing with in the West, in America mm-hmm. and in Europe. And I don't think that they understand what's happening here. Certainly, you alluded to the response or the lack of it. And that's because they don't understand what's happening here. And what is happening, in my understanding, is that a course is being set for the investigation of crimes committed with US dollars. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very rare in America that they commence investigations without having a significant body of evidence. And that is true of all the other targeted sanctions that they have undertaken in years. And if it is the case that they have evidence to suggest that crimes have been committed with US dollars, then the ANC, despite its defiance and bravado here, can look forward to being prosecuted in America. Mm-hmm. And then you get to go and share a jail cell with someone who's been arrested for trying to light a shoe bomb on a plane. It's not nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I found interesting is that the first issue that they raise, where they go into detail as to what it is that they're opposed to the ANC doing, is they talk about October 7 and everything that's arisen from that. But they also refer back to, I mean, it's a laundry list of what the ANC has done with regard to its relationship with Hamas in particular, and the fact that the relationship actually dates back to, it's existed before the ANC came into power and essentially has always been there. And it's probably very much part of that sort of that myth of, you know, liberation movements, we're all supporting the victims, et cetera, et cetera. And notwithstanding however they choose to express their support for the victims. But they refer in quite some detail, not just to October 7th itself, but the fact that the ANC put out a press statement on the 7th, now I didn't put it out on the 7th, but I noted it was dated the 7th of October, in which it was expressed concern of the escalating violence. Now, there was no escalating violence by Israel, so it was the Hamas-led invasion of Israel and every horror yes. that's explained, and immediately urging Israel's restraint and response. And I've held that that suggested that even if they didn't know the details, the ANC had been warned by Hamas what was coming down the road and what was expected of them. And they go on literally October 8th, an ANC person made some anti-Israeli comment. October the 19th, October the 27th, Naledi Pandor accepted a call with Hamas leader. And it goes on and on and right up to the lodging the case with the ICJ and requesting the ICC to arrest Netanyahu and Gallant. Now, what I find interesting about that was item number one. And I think what the ANC really doesn't understand is that A, the anti-Semitism that comes out of that, and B, the fact that Israel is a very crucial partner, very crucial ally, rather, to the US. So on that, strike one, the ANC cannot, literally cannot be trusted to be sort of on the right geopolitical side.
Without question. Look, this has been happening for a long time. And if you recall last year, Sara, you know, even before this, we had a bipartisan bill launched by Jared Moskowitz and John James. Mm. John James is a Republican. Jared Moskowitz is a Democrat from Florida. And they launched a bill in last year. This has been under the crosshairs. And in that was mentioned about the review because South Africa is perceived to be siding with America's enemies, or rather not in its interests. Mm. And this is the, you know, and I go back to my point about playing games here, because clearly the ANC have underestimated the profile in Washington. If you look at where the Democrats are, they know they are organizing marches and they have to be helped with NGOs to bus people in. And they are not in opposition to the statue. They were. And, you know, I can't help but thinking that there is real substance behind the Americans right now. And I see it, if people are not familiar with it, if your listeners need a contemporary reference, then let's go back to 2020. You have a summer of riots erupting across America, and well-meaning and best-intentioned Jewish people lend their solidarity to Black people who are objecting to the treatment of suspects in police custody, which is an entirely legitimate claim, okay? Mm-hmm. And they marched and they stood in solidarity. What happened at that October the 7th? Those groups that the best intentioned Jewish groups in America had stood behind turned around and stabbed them in the back. Okay, that has not been lost upon the Republicans, and we are seeing this in a really big scope, in a large study of events, of allegiances, and potential consequences now.
Mm. I mean, I know that one of the things that I've seen mentioned, I can't remember who, is that South Africa could be an advantage to the USA if it didn't hold this animus partly by virtue of our geopolitical position, because we control the bottom of Africa. And if things go belly up in Red Sea as they have done, or something else happens concerning China, South Africa was served as a very good point to be at, to be part of preserving Western hegemony, let's put it that way. And I know ANC doesn't want to preserve Western hegemony at all, but essentially it's the battle between the democracies and the autocracies. And the ANC has shown time and time again that it favors the autocracies, because, I mean, after you've gone through the laundry list on on its relationship with Hamas, you've got its relationship with the Russian Federation. And they list the Lady R event, offshore naval exercises with the People's Republic of China and Russia, the Russian cargo plane landing at in South Africa, you know, in case the ANC thought the Americans didn't notice that. And that its original instinctive demand to that Russia leave Ukraine when it invaded switched and sought then to improve relationships with Russia and visited Russia, et cetera, et cetera. They even referred to Viktor Vekselberg, a sanctioned oligarch donating $826,000 to the ANC as recently as 2022. So that very almost lapdog-like seeking of approval from Russia, and it then goes on with the same thing with China, is completely and against American interests. So whether one agrees with America or you agrees with South Africa's position, the bottom line is America's interests are not being served by South Africa, and for America, I would assume it therefore serves no purpose to have South Africa as an ally.
Correct. And I think let's go back here. This has been the case since 2006, 2007, when Dumisani Khumalo occupied a non-permanent seat at the UN. Mm-hmm. The patience is now exhausted. It was tiring back then. You know, Americans are... the only way that I could possibly describe this, which is the sentiment that you see at the moment, that Americans consider themselves generous. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they are. Now, the South African government and its supporters, the ANC, and its supporters are behaving defiantly, saying that the US gives the government no money. No, the US gave the NGOs money to do work that the government should have been doing. Exactly. All right. And that essentially allowed the government to breathe easier, knowing that you had a huge amount of talented groups that were looking after healthcare, education, and so on. Americans feel slight, and I can't help but sympathize with their position. And now we're in a new reality. You see that Donald Trump's Liberation Day last week, tariffs are a six-letter word that encompass 2 million different feelings. We are in a vast realignment, the likes of which rarely happen in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the ANC is going to have to move very, very quickly if it wants. I don't think it can. I think it's too late. You say that it should use its strategic location carefully and cleverly. Has it gone beyond the point where it can reasonably measure cause and effect? I think that that was good. That disappeared ages ago. Okay. And I'm not convinced that there's going to be any strategic thinking. I think you're going to see more of this pig-headed defiance, the stubborn intransigence, and you know, this will just simply advance people like Ronny Jackson's causes.
And I mean, I know that you alluded to earlier, but the diplomatic coin in Washington since the ANC took over has never been serious people. Not from the word go. And considering America's importance, it deserved to be treated well and professionally by professional diplomats, and that's never been the case. So the whole Ibrahim Rasool debacle was inevitable. Can I just ask, Simon, you talk about, you know, targeting individual ANC members with sanctions. Is this a consequence? And there's reference to it, and it's a sort of word that you see it and you go, you know, the Magnitsky Act.
Correct.
Would you just give us a brief idea of what the Magnitsky Act is and how profoundly it could affect individual politicians?
Sure. So Sergei Magnitsky was the counsel for Bill Browder, who was a hedge fund boss. Bill Browder is a very interesting guy. I think he's still in London. Mm-hmm. I've met him on two occasions. Shortly after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Bill Browder moved to Russia to invest in this. And, you know, there was stuff going on there which was just not kosher. But he made this very brave move to what was a frontier market. And the gangsters got involved, and Sergei Magnitsky, his lawyer, was kidnapped and tortured and beaten to death. Subsequently, the Magnitsky Act became the rule for international skullduggery with US dollars, meaning that if anyone is caught playing games with offshore money laundering, you name it, there's a laundry list of offenses, then those people can be subject to sanctions, the likes of which include, as I alluded to earlier, prosecution in the US. Now, here's an interesting point. So sure, and we know that the ANC does play around with dollars because Cyril Ramaphosa's sofa happened to be filled with the things, okay? And when Arthur Fraser laid those charges at the Rosebank police station. But here's the thing, and I think that, so there's the Magnitsky Act, which they will almost certainly use, mm-hmm. But there's also the fact that the sympathy for the ANC is non-existent in Washington. And the example of that goes to the prosecution of Sam Bankman-Fried. Mm-hmm. Sam Bankman-Fried was a large Democrat donor, mm-hmm. but billions. Mm-hmm. His parents were left-wing professors at liberal California institutions. They couldn't even save him, mm-hmm. okay? Elizabeth Warren couldn't save Sam Bankman-Fried from 25 years in the slammer. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's there, I don't know, I think Rikers Island in New York. It's charming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know of a guy, a lawyer, who has to work there. It's not nice. If the ANC get hammered on Magnitsky, okay, they can look forward to Sam Bankman-Fried fate, and no one is going to be able to save them. Mm. It's a very, very serious raft of charges, perhaps the most serious financial crimes in the world. Mm. I don't know of a jurisdiction that poses more of a threat to money laundering than America, quite frankly.
Mm, Does this, if America goes for or convicts the ANC bigwigs, does this have any ratchet effect on other USA allies? In other words, is there any part of the Magnitsky Act, which has been widely accepted in governments around the West, that would put a break on them dealing, on these other European countries dealing with the ANC or dealing with South Africa?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer, to be totally honest with you. I do feel that there will be traditional sympathy, certainly from European countries, mm-hmm. including the UK and probably Australia, to the ANC. But the Americans aren't playing around here, and you rightly point out that everyone has accepted the standard of Magnitsky because they have possibly been only used to Russian oligarchs being subjected to those rules. But they are very, very serious. And you know, I've noticed the ANC's response and the very brief, fleeting responses so far to the bill of last Friday, of Thursday. Mm. And all I can tell you is that when ANC profiles respond with "Well, bring it on," as a challenge to the threat, then you know, how would you like to never use MasterCard and Visa again in your life? Is that bringing it on enough for you?
Mm.
How would you like to only visit places like Papua New Guinea and Belarus?
Mm.
Okay, where your safety is probably you know, you can't be guaranteed. These are the things that you've got to consider with something as sweeping as Magnitsky. Mm.
Finally, just one question. Is this likely to have bipartisan support? In other words, both Republican and Democrat support?
Yes, and that's a good point, because there are plenty of Democrats that had their noses put out of joint by the ANC's reluctance to support Ukraine when Russia invaded in 2022. So there is, it's not just the Republicans here. You've got sensible Democrats. They're not many of them, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And those sensible Democrats are the more prominent in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, yes, to answer your question, absolutely it will receive bipartisan support.
Simon, thank you very much for joining us and giving us those insights.
Thank you. Great to see you, Sarah. All the best.